I'm glad to have him with us this morning, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself, and then he's going to bring our message. Pastor Bell.
Thank you so much for letting me come this morning. I appreciate you letting me share and be in your pulpit this morning. I'll try to quickly tell you a little bit about who I am. This is my second go-around at the Dabney Baptist Church. I pastored full-time at the Dabney Baptist Church back in the late 80s, early 90s. And then from there, I was called to a church in Georgetown, Indiana, close to New Albany, close to Louisville, where I was there for 15 years. And then at that point, I felt the Lord calling me to get back into my original profession, and that was bivocational ministry. I really, from the beginning, felt that God wanted me to be a bivocational pastor. And so I went back into teaching. I'm a full-time math teacher in Louisville, Kentucky. I teach at an alternative school in Louisville. Alternative schools are where they send the students that can't make it in the public school. The students that just can't make it in a public school situation, they send them to us. And we get to privilege of loving them and dealing with them. I use loving in quotation marks. Once I started back into teaching, Norris Crawl from over at Dabney gave me a call, and he goes, "I heard you weren't pastoring anymore." And I says, "No, I'm teaching full time." He says, "Why don't you come up to Dabney on the weekends and preach for us and pastor?" And so that's what I've been doing for the last 8 years. For the last 8 years, I've been back at Dabney and on the weekends, bivocational, which I really, really enjoy. Just kind of curious this morning, how many of you enjoy walking? Let me just kind of see a show of hands. You enjoy walking. You just get out and you like to walk and do all that. Walking is a great exercise. It really is. It's an incredible exercise. In fact, they say, the health profession says that walking is probably one of the greatest exercises that you can do. And walking in Louisville, Kentucky has really just exploded. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They've just made walking places all over Louisville, Kentucky. And one of the things that they've done is there's an old railroad bridge that goes over the Ohio River that connects Louisville to Jeffersonville, Indiana. And for years it was a railroad bridge, and then it was no longer a railroad bridge, and they just let it set for I don't know how many years. And then all of a sudden, Jeffersonville and Louisville decided to put a whole lot of money into making that a pedestrian bridge. And it's a nice place. It really, really is. It connects across the Ohio River. They made it really nice. And people walk that bridge all the time. I mean, there's just all the time people walking that bridge. It's a great, great place to walk. And they wanted so much to make it a family-friendly place to walk that there's policemen everywhere. There's policemen everywhere. I mean, if you're on the Jeffersonville side, that's where I'd start, on the Jeffersonville side, because my daughter, youngest daughter, has an apartment in Jeffersonville. And so I'll meet her and we'll walk across the bridge. And in Jeffersonville, at the where the bridge starts, you're already going to see five or six policemen. I mean, you're just going to see five or six policemen. They're just always there hanging out. And then you walk across the bridge to the Louisville side and you're going to see 10 to 15 policemen. I'm serious. You're going to see 10 to 15 policemen on the Louisville side. So one day we were going to meet, my daughter and I, we got there, and she texted me, and she said, "I'm going to be running late." She goes, "Why don't you just go ahead and cross the bridge?" And since she works at in Louisville, she said, "I'll just meet you on the Louisville side." She goes, "Just go ahead and walk across the bridge." So I walked across the bridge by myself, and I got to the other side, and there's all kinds of people milling around, and there's, you know, policemen everywhere and everything like that. And then she texts me, and she goes, "I'm going to be even later." Your kids never do that to you, do they? And then she go, "I'm going to be even later." And I'm going, "Oh, okay, what am I going to do?" So I just started walking, and looking at all the, you know, stuff. And I'm walking along. And then all of a sudden, I stop, and I start looking around, and I realize that I have wandered into somewhat of a isolated area. In other words, when I was on the bridge, there were people everywhere, and there were policemen, and there were all kinds of stuff. Well, for some reason, I've just been walking along, clueless of what, you know, and I'm just looking around, and then all of a sudden, I realize that I'm in a place where there's really not that many people. In fact, it was just kind of me. And so I started looking around. I'm in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm feeling a little strange. I'm feeling a little odd. And so out of the corner of my eye, I saw a guy, and he starts coming toward me. Well, I kind of panicked a little bit. you know, I just kind of panicked a little bit because I'm not a big guy. I can't whoop very many people. And so I kind of panicked a little bit. And so I just started, as he started walking toward me, I started walking away from him. And I kept looking over my shoulder and he was following me. At least I think he was following me. My panic was telling me he was following me. And so I'm walking, and I'm thinking, man, I can't believe that, you know, I'm down here in this Louisville and I'm down here in this area and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just by myself and this guy's following me. And so finally, right up ahead of me was two families walking, and they were walking a dog in a stroller. And I go, man, if I could catch up with them, I think I'll be okay. And I started going really, really fast, and I caught up with them, and I'm right behind them, just walking right with them. And I looked around, and you know what? Just as soon as I caught up with those two families, the man that was following me kind of peeled off and went in another direction. Now, I don't know what was going to happen, but I was just saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much that you protected me and you took care of me. So, I'll tell you that story to say this. When I ask how many of you like to walk, many of you raised your hands and you said you like to walk. But you know what I think is more important than walking? Where you walk. Wow, isn't that profound? Isn't that deep? Man, that is so profound. In other words, it's important to walk. Walk is great for our health, but maybe a little more important, where we walk. And it's interesting that when you go to the Scripture, when you go to God's Word actually talks to us about where to walk. Good places to walk, safe places to walk, places that we as God's people, we as Christians, should be walking. And so I'm going to give you five today. If anybody's keeping score, I'm going to give you five if that's okay. I want to give you five places that God says are good places to walk. And hopefully we can walk in those places. The first one is out of Romans chapter 13, verse 13. And the Bible says there, let us walk honestly. Everybody say honestly. It says, let us walk honestly. In other words, honesty is the place that we as Christians should be walking. And you say, well, isn't that kind of obvious? Yes, it is. But did you know that honesty is almost a lost thing in this day and time? I mean, it really is. It's really to find people that are honest. Whatever they say, their word is going to happen. It's going to be true. You know, that's almost a lost art anymore. I remember one time, and I never forget this as long as I live, my dad was a man of his word. My dad was honest. And one time I saw him go to a car lot, and he made a deal for a car with a handshake. Now, folks, you won't see that today, will you? Will you see that today? Go to a car lot and shake hands with somebody and say, there's a deal on the car. No, you're going to fill out this paper, you're going to fill out this paper, you're going to fill out this paper. Yeah, honesty. To walk in honesty. I thought it was so interesting. I read a story recently. When you go into a grocery store, everything has a weight on it. You know, 16 ounces, 18 ounces. You know, the cans have weights on them. The meat have weights on them and stuff like that. Well, they had this group of people that just started going into random chain stores like a Walmart or like a Kroger or something like that, and with some scales, and they actually started weighing the stuff in the stores. And you know what they found out? They found out that most of the items in a chain store are not the weight that they're supposed to be. In other words, there was meat that was supposed to be 16 ounces worth of ground beef. It wasn't 16 ounces. It was sometimes 12 ounces. It was sometimes 10 ounces. And you go, wait a minute. But that's the kind of world we live in today. In other words, the Bible says we need to walk in honesty. We need to walk in truthfulness. We need to what we say is the truth. If we say we're going to be there at 10:30, what time are we going to be there? 11 o'clock, right? Yeah, no, if we say we're going to be there at 10:30, we're going to be there at 10:30. If we say I'll be there, you know, we're true to our word. When people hear us give our word, then they know that we are going to be true to our word. Well, let me go on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible tells us another place that we should walk. First of all, we should walk in honesty. The second place that the Bible tells us that we should walk, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Everybody say faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so not only should we walk in honesty, we should walk in faith. Now, what does that mean to walk in faith? Well, to me, walking in faith means keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. In other words, when we're walking through this life, instead of looking at all the things that are going on around us, we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's walking by faith. I saw something really interesting. Me and my son are nerds. We really are. We're nerds, and we don't you know, make any excuses for it. We are nerds. I'm a math teacher. He likes math and stuff. And so me and my son, our favorite thing to watch on TV is the Science Channel. Boy, y'all looking at me weird. Y'all really are. But we like to watch the Science Channel. And one of our favorite shows on the Science Channel is MythBusters. And on this show called MythBusters, see somebody nodding your head. You've seen MythBusters. All right, thank you. Appreciate it. On this show called MythBusters, they take all these different myths and they apply science techniques to them to try to prove if they're right or if they're wrong or not. And so there was this one particular myth that they were doing that me and my son were watching. And it was the myth that if you're in the woods and you are lost in the woods, then you will walk in circles. That was the myth. And so they said, we're going to try this myth. So there was two men, and they took these two men, and they dumped them in the woods, and there were no landmarks or anything like that that they could, you know, kind of position themselves. And so they put this one guy out there, and they had a little GPS on him, and he walked for about an hour or so, and they tracked that GPS, and you know what? Sure enough, he walked in circles. I didn't think it was going to be true. I thought they were just kidding, but no, it really was. He just walked in circles. He just walked in circles. They put the other guy in the woods. He walked in a straight line. And they said, how is that possible? In other words, the first guy just walked around in circles. How did you walk in a straight line? He goes, I'll tell you my secret. He said, my secret was I looked up at the sun. He said, I looked up at the sun. And when I looked up at the sun was on my right shoulder. And so as I started walking, I didn't look at the stuff around me. I didn't look at the trees or the rocks or anything like that, the ditches and all that sort of thing. He says, I looked up at the sun. You like this story? Isn't this good? He was looking at the sun. And he said, I looked up at the sun and I kept the sun on my right shoulder. And the whole time I was walking, I made sure the sun was on my right shoulder. And he said, I walked a straight line. Wow. Is that not a testimony of walking by faith? We keep our eyes on the sun. And we watch the sun, and as we keep our eyes on the sun, folks, we're going to walk a straight line. If we take our eyes off the sun, how are we going to walk? We're going to walk in circles. We're going nowhere. We're going nowhere. We're just wasting all of our time and all of our energy just walking in circles. But when we put our eyes on, I like that story. I like that story. Thank y'all for letting me tell that story. I like that story because when you keep your eyes on the sun, you're going to walk straight line. And that's what we want to do. So we walk in honesty. We walk in honesty, and then the Bible tells us also to walk by faith, keeping our eyes on the sun. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Say good works. Good works. We need to be walking in good works. That's where we need to be walking. Because you see, when we as Christians walk in good works, that's our testimony. That's our testimony. We're a witness. We know that we're a witness with the words we say. We know that we're a witness when sometimes we have the opportunity to speak, you know, the Roman road to somebody or something like that. But did you know we're a witness every day just by the way we live? People know that. People know you're a Christian, and they're watching you. And sometimes that makes us a little nervous to know that people are watching us, but they are watching. When I went to teach school, I'd been in full-time ministry for 15 plus 6. What's 15 plus 6? 21. Okay. I've been in full-time ministry for 21 years, and then I go back into the secular workplace as a school teacher. And the very first time when I sat down to interview with the principal says, I know you're a preacher. I said, okay, good start. Good start. And she said, but I want you to know you can't preach in the classroom. Well, I kind of knew that. I kind of knew they weren't going to let me, you know, just get up in my classroom and preach. But you know what? I don't need to preach in my classroom. You know why? Because I'm a walking testimony. You're a walking testimony. We're a walking testimony each and every day that we live. And so that's why the Bible says we need to walk in good works, because that's our testimony. That's our testimony. That's what people see. You know, my students at my school, you know, they're the rough group. They're a tough group. And they come up to me and they say, Mr. Bell, every time I look at you, you're smiling. Testimony. And then they ask me the golden words, why do you smile all the time? I said, thank you for opening the door. Because you see, I can't preach, but if they ask me, amen. Amen. I tell them. I tell them while I smile all the time. I tell them why when you see me, I'm happy. I tell them. And so our lives are a walking testimony. And that's why the Bible says that we need to walk in good works. It's so important that we do that, that we walk in good works. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Now that's circumspectly. Now that was an interesting word when I read that. It says, "See that you walk circumspectly." And I thought, what does that mean? What does that mean? Anybody ever heard of Google? Isn't it the greatest thing in the world? God bless the man that invented Google. Because you can look up anything, you know. And so I whip my phone out and I say, "What is circumspectly?" And it's very interesting. It's a word that means be careful how you walk. And I thought, wow, that is neat. Because as Christians, we really do need to be careful how we walk. Because people are watching us. Because we are a testimony. And so we really need to be careful how we walk before other people. For example, not too long ago, my principal came to me, and my principal asked me to do cafeteria duty. Well, nobody wants to do cafeteria duty because that's where all the fights are. I'm serious. Every fight that we've had in my school has started in the cafeteria. And so when the principal said, "I would like for you to do cafeteria duty," I'm going, oh, wow. Because we had a teacher last year that was doing cafeteria duty, tried to break up a fight and got hit in the face and had to go home. And so I'm going, "You want me to do cafeteria duty?" And I said, "I'd love to." That's what I told her. She almost fell out of her chair. She goes, "What?" I said, "I would love to do it." And she goes, "You are the first person I've ever asked to do cafeteria duty, and you haven't complained." She goes, "Everybody I ask to do cafeteria duty complains and makes excuses, and you're the first one to say, I'd love to do it." You see, we are careful how we walk. We are circumspect in how we walk. We're very careful in our walk. It's kind of like the other night. You have to walk in wisdom. Because the other night we were sitting on the couch, me and my son, and we were watching Mythbusters, just like I told you. And he was getting ready to go to bed. He had to go to work the next morning, and he was getting ready to go to bed. And I said, "Just throw me the remote." Bad choice of words. You see, we've got to walk carefully. We've got to walk circumspectly, because when I said, "Throw me the remote," you know what he did? Right here. Right there. He got me. He got me. We have to walk circumspectly. And then the last one. I want to share the last one with you because I know we're running out of time and you all have Sunday school. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life." Walk in the newness of life. In other words, when the day comes, instead of looking at the day saying, "Oh man, I got another day to go to work. I got another day I had to put up with them stinking kids. You know, I got another day I had..." No, walk in newness of life. In other words, "Lord, thank you for another day." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for new opportunities. Thank you, Lord, for what this day can be. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to take this day and you're going to use me. Newness of life. Not oldness of life where we come in with this, you know, just, "Oh man, I just, you know." But newness of life. Approach each day as, "Wow, what does God want to do with me today? What does God want to use me for today? This is a whole new day. God can use me to do just incredible things if I let him." That's walking in newness of life. That's walking in a breath of fresh air. That's walking in just saying, "Okay, Lord, praise your name. We're going to have a good day today. We're going to have a good day today. God, I'm at your disposal. God, whatever you want to use me for, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. God, I'm just excited about what you're going to do today. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see, God, what you're going to do, use me for, or what you're going to do." And it's just amazing. That's walking in newness of life. But you know, we really can't walk in the newness of life without Jesus as our Savior. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is knowing Jesus as Savior. I had the blessed privilege this last 2 or 3, 4 months. We had a man start coming to our church. And he was an older gentleman. He was an older man. And he started coming to our church. And I was preaching a series of sermons on salvation is the most important thing. And it was just God's grace and mercy that I was preaching that series of sermons when this man was coming to our church, because it was only a few days after he started coming to our church that he was diagnosed with cancer, and they told him he didn't have long to live. And I'd been preaching that series of sermons on salvation is the most important thing. And when I went to visit him, and he was getting very, very to the last end of his life, he started talking to me. He goes, "I've been listening to your messages. I've been listening to your sermons. I've been listening to you say salvation is the most important thing. Tell me how to be saved." And I want you to know that this man gave his life to Christ before he passed away last week. He passed away last week. I did his funeral this past Friday morning. I did his funeral. He found the Lord. He found the Lord. And so that's the most important thing, is walking in the newness of life, is knowing Jesus as Savior. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning, and if God has spoken to your heart, if you want to come to pray in this altar, you're welcome. If you want to come and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome as well. But we want to give that invitation. We want to give that opportunity. So let's stand together as we come to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for your attention and just allowing me to share God's word with you. So,
thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it. And I'm going to pray for them.
Okay.
Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, be thankful for that message this morning. Let us walk in your path. Let us have the sun on our shoulders. Let us always remember that it is you that is the path to salvation. We thank you once again for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for Reverend Bell and his message. May you be with us this next week so we can return next Sunday. We do and say these things in his name. Amen.